Hey y'all, I'm Whitney Scarborough, the host of Wits End. Here we are real people asking hard questions. If you think you hear the hum of a fridge or a train in the background, it's because you probably are. We are recording these episodes from the comfort of my home in a small town called LaGrange, Texas.
Today, I am joined by my dear friend, Jen Etter. She talks about unexpectedly getting married after a long season of singleness, the gentleness of God as she walked through cancer, and asking God to do ridiculous things. Let's dive in. Jen, it is so fun to have you here today. It's such a joy. You came into our lives in such a pivotal and trying time. I still remember before I met you that my husband, Tim, already had met you and knew you a little bit. And he said, I just really think you are going to like her. And he was so right. I think about the past 7 or so years and just how God's used you to specifically encourage me in some dark seasons. And so it's a joy to have you. And I just love for you to tell our listeners a little bit about where you live and what your life looks like.
Yeah. Hi, Whit. Thanks for having me.
Yay.
I'm Jen Etter, and I currently live in Midway, Utah, which is just outside of Park City. It's a little darling little Swiss mountain village and just about 25 minutes from Park City. But I grew up on the west coast of the U.S. San Diego is where I was born. And then my family moved to Washington State when I was in elementary school. So I'm kind of a Pacific Northwest girl. And I got married a little over a year ago, and we moved to Utah, which is somewhere I never thought I would ever live. If you had asked me to list in order the states I would ever live in someday, Utah would probably have been at the bottom, but not for like a real good reason. I just think a lot of people don't have Utah on their radar.
Yeah.
And it's lovely here. There's so much natural beauty and adventure to have here. So my husband, Matt, and I, we love cooking. We love having people in our home, hosting people for dinner, overnights. I'm an avid reader and podcast listener, like usually 10 plus podcasts a week. So I love listening to podcasts. And honestly, I just love to do almost anything outside. I'm learning what my new snow adventure sport will be. I'm not a big adrenaline girl. So downhill skiing or snowboarding is not right up my alley because I don't like going fast down things. So I'm learning. I do already love snowshoeing, but I actually am about to take a cross-country skiing lesson that Matt got me for Christmas. And so I'm going to see if that's something that I enjoy doing because it's good exercise and it's a way to be outside, but it's not real fast and dangerous.
Yeah. So. Feels a little bit more controllable, not so like.
It's safer. Yeah, it's safer. And a way to be outside and active in the winter when it's cold and snowy here.
Yes, I love that. I was thinking about what this would be like if we were trying to explain cross country skiing to my children here in the, you know, in Central Texas, where we maybe see a flurry, you know, once a season if we're lucky.
Yeah.
I was picturing literally sending my kids out with like, you know, like cookie sheets, like glued to the bottom of their shoes, and you know, telling them to like shuffle across the yard. Which
they do make cross country skis to train in like the spring and summer that have wheels
really?
On them.
No
They're
way.
Almost like cross country skis with like rollerblades on the bottom. So
no way,
it could be a thing in Texas that you can start it.
That's what I'm going to get my kids for Christmas next year. We've decided already. That's awesome. Well, when we first became friends, you were not married. And I know this is a broad topic, but I do want us to touch on it. So would you just talk about singleness and how it was both something that you struggled with as well as embraced as a big part of your adult life until recently?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like most people, I definitely thought I would get married in my 20s. You know, I'd meet someone like you do in college or at church or in doing ministry. And we'd start a life together. And then my 20s came and my 20s went, and I was still single. And, you know, as I look back on it now, I'm just so grateful that, I mean, so much of maturity through life, but also in our walks with the Lord is just going, oh, thank you, Lord, for not giving me what I wanted when I thought I wanted it, because it wouldn't have been what was best for me. And so looking back, I know now that if I'd gotten married when I was younger, like I'd wanted, it may not have been for the right reasons. I think I used to think that marriage was something that would complete me or would solve things. You know, I wouldn't have to go to weddings alone anymore. There was someone to pick me up from the airport. But I know now that I'm married, spoiler alert, that marriage is a lot of work and it's about sacrifice and service and facing our own selfishness and stubbornness. And so in my 30s, I came to realize that, you know, as I was still single, that I really needed to focus on being complete and whole and healthy in Christ on my own. And that if God had marriage in mind for me someday, which I hoped he would, that it would be to enhance life and my walk with the Lord through that partnership, not to complete me or define me. And so I was single for, you know, the better part of 2 decades of my adult life. And it was a really tender thing for me. I really did want to get married. It felt like all my friends were getting engaged and married and just launching into new life stages way ahead of me. And so it was honestly the most tender part of my walk with the Lord, just things where I go, Lord, I want it so bad and it's not happening. Or, you know, I would go on a date here or there, but very seldom, and it would just not amount to much, or it'd be very disappointing. Lord, we're all adult men who love you. Are there none left? And so, you know, I also got a lot of mixed messages from people that I think meant well, that would say things like, you're so great. Why aren't you married yet? And which isn't, nobody means harm by that comment, but it's a little bit like, oh, I'm lacking. You know, I'm missing something according to other people's opinions, or, you know, lots of people suggested I try online dating. So many people suggested that, you know, and even people that would say things like, do you think it's because you're so committed to your job that that's why you're so single, that maybe if you got a different job or scaled back or were less committed, that then you would find someone. And I never felt that call in my life. I felt like I was just doing the next thing that God put in front of me, whether it was a job or moving to a new city for a job. Like, I just felt like I was being faithful and obedient. And I just, so I never felt pressure to change what I was doing. But, you know, I also didn't feel represented in the church. A lot of singles groups and things like that are geared towards a much younger demographic, which isn't wrong. But from the stage, when stories are told, or when people talk about singles, or when there's events in the community planned, a lot of times they're for people that are in their mid-20s. And so when you're 36, 37, 38 or older, you know, you just don't feel like you fit in anywhere, especially in the church community. And so I just didn't fit anywhere. And it was also just tender and hard for me. I also want your listeners to know, it wasn't that I just wasn't getting married. I was literally not being asked out on dates. I was not getting interest from guys in my small group, or, you know, just things like that. I had someone tell me once, I think the Lord's closed men's eyes to you until it's the right one.
Wow.
And, you know, Matt, my husband now, was like, I think that's true, you know, and who knows what was going on, but it just really was discouraging. And so that led me, you know, as we all, when we have a tender part of our life, it can often lead us to listen to or pay attention to negative soundtracks in our life, broken soundtracks that are really just designed to discourage us. You know, things like, I wasn't wanted, I wasn't attractive or interesting enough to date even. And so I wrestled a lot, and through all that wrestling, I decided, you know, that I really wanted to be single well, even though it was a tender thing for me. I wanted to celebrate my friends that were getting married and engaged. I wanted to live my life. You know, in my younger years, I would say things or think things to myself like, you know, oh, I need new dishes, or it'd be fun to get new bedding, but oh, you'll probably get married someday in the next, you know, 2 to 5 years. And so you can just register for that stuff. Or,
wow. Yeah.
You know, I dream about going to New Zealand or Scotland, and I think, oh, I just would love to go there with my husband someday, and I'll just wait. And so, so I decided I wanted to be single well. And so I traveled when I could, you know, with friends, and, bought new dishes, and not ridiculous or extravagant dishes,
right,
but just time for new dishes. I've had handing down ones long enough. And so my advice to anyone that's not yet married is to not wait. Live your life, live it to the full, volunteer, travel, get new dishes if you feel the need and have the ability to get new dishes, but don't wait for something that just hasn't happened yet, that the Lord's not brought into your life just yet.
I love that. I definitely feel like when our family got to cross paths with you, that there was a sense that you were really celebrating and embracing this kind of bittersweet place of, I long to be married, but because I'm not, I get to come spend the evening on Friday night when your husband's maybe out of town and love on your kids. And, and so there was this sweetness that, I felt like you really lived into of that. And so I definitely can testify that you did live well and live fully. But I'd love for you just to tell us a little bit about your story with Matt and how God brought him into your life at such an unlikely time.
Yeah. Oh, he's one of the greatest surprises of my life. So in 2017, I began working for a new boss, and this boss knew I was single and desired to be married. And I was working in Christian ministry at the time. And so, he said, "Hey, I've got this great guy I'd love you to meet. He's awesome. He loves the Lord. He's single." I said, "Great. Where is he?" And he goes, "Well, he just moved to Saudi Arabia." Matt had just moved to Saudi for his job, which felt, you know, looking back, just like, is there a more impossible place to connect with someone internationally?
Absolutely.
You know, it might as well be space, like, oh, he's on the International Space Station. So, you know, I just kind of put that out of my mind. And so in 2020, Matt had moved back from Saudi and settled in Park City. And knowing he was back, my boss sort of pressured him into reaching out to me since he was back in the States. And we had all just gone into lockdown and no one was doing a whole lot. And so on April 18th, Matt texted me for the first time. I was living in San Diego at the time and we were deep in lockdown. Like, don't really even leave your house except to go for a walk in the neighborhood. And so things at work had really screeched to a halt just in the response to COVID of trying to figure out how we do what we do without being able to be in person and things like that. And so I suddenly had all this time, as did Matt. And so we connected by phone. We talked every day for many hours a day. At some point, I remember thinking to myself, I should start recording how long these phone calls are, like just in a note on my phone, because if this goes anywhere, this will be a funny stat to look back on. And so in 2.5 weeks, Matt and I talked on the phone for 95 hours.
That's amazing.
Which we figured is like almost 6 months of dating. If you think about a couple dates a week, maybe 2 hours at dinner or lunch or whatever. And so, anyways, so after about 2.5 weeks, still very much in lockdown, I drove to Park City and met Matt in person for the first time and spent a few days together and just getting to know each other in person. And, that was really fun and felt a little bit illegal, like leaving California and driving to Utah.
Right. Are you going like, to get arrested or stopped at the border?
Are you allowed to do this? A couple weeks later he came to San Diego and visited me and we decided that we were going to make a go of it and that this was a thing. And, we had talked about the summer, maybe going back and forth and doing the long distance thing. And, you know, when you're in a relationship like that, that can work. And a lot of people find themselves in a situation where that's a necessity, but you know, it just felt like we were getting kind of like long weekends together, which felt kind of glamorous and fun. But I wanted to see what life was like with him on a Tuesday after we've both worked all day and have to figure out what we want to do for dinner and things like that. And so, I moved to Park City for the summers, so we could date and experience real life together. And there's an amazing family that I knew that lived here, that let me live with them for the summer. So Matt and I could date in person and we fell deeply in love over that summer. I was 38 at the time and Matt is 9 years older than me. So because of our age, you know, that really allowed us to skip past a lot of the dating insecurities most people experience, when we're younger or a little bit less mature. You know, we both knew who we were and what we liked and what we didn't like. And, you know, it wasn't the like, oh, I love baseball. You love baseball? I love it too. You know, Matt loves mountain biking. I don't want to go fast down a mountain. And so I, you know, early on I was like, I love that you love that. And that's so great. I'm not going to do that with you probably ever. And he was like, great. I don't need you to do that with me. And so we skip past some of that stuff that you can get stuck on when you're dating in a less mature stage. And so, you know, early on in our dating relationship, there was something that just kind of freaked Matt out, just briefly. And he came to me and he just said, "Hey, I just need you to know I'm having a little freak out moment." And we talked through it and I said, okay, tell me more. And okay, did something happen? Did I say something or do something? And we just had a really mature, adult, respectful and kind conversation about how he was feeling and why he was feeling that way. And just how I played into that. And so a lot of it was just something he was wrestling through on his own, but that actually was when I knew I loved him. And it was a hard conversation, not a fight at all, but just a challenging conversation where we had to, he was wrestling down some demons and some fears in regards to our relationship. And so, you know, talking on the phone for 95 hours, you know, I knew we could talk about anything and everything, our jobs and our travels and adventures and things we dreamt of, but having a hard and honest conversation, being vulnerable and meeting each other with respect and honesty and getting through it just meant so much to me. And that's kind of when I knew I loved him. And so we dated all summer and decided we were going to get married. And, you know, Matt, at some point after we kind of started talking about marriage, we weren't engaged yet, but he said, do you want to wait, you know, till the spring and see if COVID is less of a thing. And, you know, maybe we could have a bigger wedding. And I said, you know, who knows what the spring of 2021 is going to look like. COVID, you know, may still be around. And so let's not wait. We know we love each other. We want to spend the rest of our lives together. And so we got married in October of 2020. So we met and dated and got married in 6 months.
Wow.
Which I never could have dreamt of or planned. And honestly, might not have ever recommended to anyone, let alone myself. But it was the greatest surprise of 2020 and something I just really did not see coming. Because I remember thinking at the beginning of the pandemic that this was probably the most impossible time in modern history to meet and date someone.
Wow.
And not even in regards to myself, just thinking like, gosh, what a, I had some friends that had been on dates and really liked a guy. And then the, you know, lockdown happened. And how do you maintain a relationship in a historical season like this? And so our God is the God of the impossible. And brought me my husband in the middle of a global pandemic.
I love it. It's so awesome. I love just going back through it and thinking about, I remember calling you at one point during the pandemic, just checking on you, thinking like, oh man, how's my friend? Just probably just, you know, struggling right now in the middle of lockdown. And you're like, I'm really excited about this guy. And I'm like, wait, what? Like you literally just met him. What is happening? But I knew it was, I knew it was good. I knew it was something that was, God was working. We'll be back in just a minute after a word from our sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by Chip and Trina Rayburn at Premier Pools and Spas. What started as a small operation in Fayette County has grown, and today they serve much of Central Texas. They are wonderful people who run their business with integrity. We encourage you to consider Premier Pools and Spas if you are in the market for a backyard upgrade. And now back to the conversation. Flash forward a little bit. So you get married in October 2020, which is sweet. You guys are in honeymoon stage, and then 2021 happens. So I know that this past year of 2021 has been particularly trying for you. And I'd love for you just to tell us a little bit about your recent journey and what all this last year has entailed.
Yeah. You know, 2020 was a hard year just for the world, but for me, it was a little bit more favorable. I met my husband, and we actually, 3 days before we got married, we put an offer on our house. So we bought a house a month after we got married, and, which was not our plan. It just is how God orchestrated things. And so, you know, we were in that honeymoon phase. And I think a lot of us, we thought the calendar is going to turn and 2021 is going to be different than 2020. And, you know, for us, it was different than 2020, and it was really quite a year. So kind of early in 2020, the spring, there was some restructuring that happened at work, and that resulted in me not getting a job that I had been recruited for and all but promised. Along with that, some individuals associated with that restructuring that were two of my deepest, closest friends, there was a betrayal that happened, and it just was, that situation alone was sort of a, Lord, what is going on here? I don't understand this and I don't love it. And it hurts really bad. And just a really, really challenging situation all around. And so I was kind of reeling from that, had lots of feelings and emotions and tears. And a month after all that happened, I went in to my gynecologist for my annual exam. Just a public service announcement. Everyone go to your annual doctor's appointments because
seriously,
they're very important. And my doctor discovered a mass in my pelvic area that she wanted to explore. So I had an ultrasound, and she called me within an hour of my ultrasound and said, I'm sending you to an oncologist because the mass we found is significantly larger. She initially thought it was about the size of a grapefruit, and it ended up being about the size of a medium-sized watermelon.
Wow.
And it was a complex tumor on one of my ovaries. And so she referred me instantly to a gynecological oncologist down in Salt Lake City. And a month after that, I had surgery to remove the tumor. A robot did surgery on me, which was pretty cool. And it was discovered that the tumor was malignant. And additionally, there was cancerous cells in my uterus. And so my doctor, she did a full hysterectomy. She took everything and then also did 25 biopsies just to make sure there's nothing cancerous left in my body, which is a lot of biopsies. If you've never had biopsies,
that's wow,
quite a lot. She just really wanted to be thorough and make sure there was nothing possible left in my body. And so, you know, in that month between discovering the tumor and surgery, there was nothing they could do to know whether or not it was cancer. They couldn't do a biopsy on it from outside of my body. And so, like most of us, when we get news that's not favorable, we can kind of spin scenarios in our head. And so, you know, I wept, and Matt and I wept and cried out to the Lord. And I was so scared that I was going to have cancer, and would just think things and pray things like, Lord, did you really bring me the love of my life for me to get cancer and die, for me to get sick? And, you know, all the dramatic things that you can start imagining when you're instantly referred to an oncologist and just a scary moment. And so this actually brought Matt and I so much closer together. You know, in your marriage vows, it's for better, for worse, for sickness and health. And that, man, we were in the middle of that for better, for worse. And this was definitely
wow,
a worse on top of an already worse. And so, but it also drove us closer to the Lord. We have never prayed like we prayed together during that season. And it was really terrible and awful, but also beautiful at the same time. And so, you know, Matt was such a gift to me and all that. He was so tender with me during the whole cancer journey. He wouldn't let me cook or do anything really. He just took care of me. And there were days, Whitney, when I didn't have a whole lot of faith that I was going to be okay. I believed in the Lord, but I felt so uncertain and scared. And so on those days, Matt believed when I couldn't, and he prayed when I couldn't find the words, and he held me when I cried, and we cried together a lot. And all of this happened in the first year of our marriage, really the first 9 months of our marriage, all this happened. And so it was a wild ride. So I had surgery, and after surgery, my pathology reports came back, and it was confirmed that I actually had two different cancers at the same time. And that's super rare to have two cancers at the same time. But actually, well, it sounds like worse news. It actually is good news because it meant that both cancers were stage one. If it had been the same cancer in two places, that would have made it stage two, meaning it spread and treatment would have looked really different. And all the biopsies came back negative, which was honestly a miracle. And so I didn't need chemo. I just, for honestly, probably the rest of my life, have to have blood work and cancer scans every 3 months just to make sure that it doesn't come back. And so then in November, so just a couple months ago, I was laid off from my job, which I knew was likely, but it was still just really painful after serving in the same organization for 16 years. And then just to wrap 2021 up with a prickly bow, Matt and I both got COVID over Christmas and ended the year on the couch watching a lot of HGTV while we just rested and recovered from being sick. So 2021 was really, there was a lot jam-packed in there.
Yeah. It's insane. I mean, it's funny. It's not funny, I guess, but it's crazy to think about your 2020, right?
Yep.
Where the world's kind of on this pause and this lull in a low, and your life looks very different, and you have some big celebrations, and then 2021, people are kind of starting to see hope around the corner, and your life is looking much more bleak. So
yeah,
that is a lot of heavy stuff in a really short amount of time. So one thing though that you have always just been eager to share and that I think about when I think of you is God's kindness. That phrase, God's kindness, comes to mind when I think of you. And specifically even in this season, I know you've talked about God's kindness. So I'd love for you just to tell us a little bit about ways you have seen God's tangible kindness in this past year.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I could go for hours here and I have a million things to add. And, you know, God is so kind, period. He's always kind. He's always good. And he has been so kind in so many ways to me through my whole life, but especially in this last year of hardship and illness and fear and all kinds of things. And so I had a few people who asked before I went into surgery, who just said, "Hey, can we FaceTime you and pray over you?" Different people, different times. It wasn't, you know, one big group, and they all prayed different things, you know, for doctors and for healing and all that stuff. But something really stuck out to me that each of them prayed, like, without, it wasn't a group concerted effort in any way, but they all prayed that God would be gentle with me, that the doctors would be gentle with me. And I don't know if that's the prayer theme that I would have expected to come out of the season, gentleness. But it's one of the things that sticks out to me most about God's kindness is just how gentle he has been with me this season. I'm so grateful that I didn't go through this season when I was single. I could have done it. It would have been different. I probably would have flown home to be with my family so they could help me recover. But that I had a partner in Matt to walk through this with is God's kindness and his gentleness with me. God gave me the most kind and gentle oncologist, so compassionate. She's so lovely and wonderful and just such a gift. And I didn't pick her. The Lord gave her to me. You know, my doctor referred me to her instantly and I didn't have a choice in the matter. And so thankfully she ended up being just the most lovely human I've ever encountered. And, you know, an oncologist is the one kind of doctor you never want to need. And thankfully God gave me just one of the best oncologists that there is. And so that's God's kindness and his gentleness with me. You know, before Matt and I got married, we had decided because of a variety of factors, but primarily our ages, that we weren't going to have kids of our own. And so one day as I was laying on the couch, you know, recovery from surgery is 8 weeks long. And so there's one day where I was laying there and I just thought, just how kind and gentle it was of the Lord that as I was recovering from massive surgery and trauma to my body, that I wasn't also grieving and mourning being able to have kids myself. And so, you know, I hadn't thought of that really going into surgery, even though I knew there was a chance of a hysterectomy. And, but just how gentle God was with me that we had already decided that long before any of this took place. And so that felt like gentle and kindness that he did that in both Matt and I individually, but us together. And then after you have a massive surgery like that, there's a lot of trauma that happens to your body. And so your body just looks different for a long time because of all the internal trauma. And so sometimes I would stand in front of the mirror after surgery and just look at my belly. It was so swollen and bruised and scarred. And one day while I was just looking at my stomach, God kind of whispered to me that it was the only way to get that cancer out of my body was to cut me open and to remove it. There was no pill that I could take. There was no machine that you could zap me from the outside and make the cancer go away. And so it was the only way. And as I'm kind of learning this little object lesson in the mirror, he whispered to me that the whole process with the ending of my job and the betrayal of my friends, that was the only way to move me into the next season. While there are scars and bruises, that was the only way to move me on. And none of that, my surgery was not unkind. It wasn't not gentle. It was actually out of God's kindness and goodness and gentleness that was the only way. And so just learning that lesson that it applied to my surgery, my physical health, but also just in these other situations that made 2021 so challenging, that sometimes the only way for God to move us from one place to another is for something to come drastically or traumatically to an end. And God is still gentle and kind and good in the middle of all of that, even through scarring and bruising in hard things. And so our God is so good, and he's gentle, and he never, ever intends us harm, even in the midst of our most painful seasons of our lives. And so that's really, I think, the big thing that I'm just learning more and more about God's kindness and goodness through his gentleness.
Wow. Friend, I think one of the things that I've always loved about you is that you are one of those people who is always learning, even as you're telling me all these things that you have, you know, just taken in over 2021. And what you'll remember most are not the most painful parts, although you still remember those, the things that God's brought to the surface that you're taking away are some of these really beautiful things of the character of God and seeing his hand in providential ways. And so I just love for you to share a little bit more about what you're learning, whether it's through podcasts or messages or relationships or books that you're reading, whatever it might be. What are you learning?
Yeah. Oh, so much learning happening right now. You know, not long after surgery, I was listening to a podcast, and this woman who's a Christian author, speaker, I'd never actually heard of her before, but she was sharing that she was learning as an adult to how to pray and pray big again. She shared that her dad had died when she was in high school, and that unconsciously she kind of stopped praying for big things because the biggest thing she'd ever prayed for didn't happen. Mm. And so as I was listening to this, I realized that since I'd gotten sick, that I too had stopped praying for big things, but for really a different reason. My biggest prayer had been answered. I was alive. I was sick, but it wasn't going to cost me my life. And so I had kind of gotten my golden ticket already. I probably should just only pray safe and normal things from now on because I had cashed all my chips in already. And, you know, that's not, so I was listening to this message. I just thought that's not how God works. Like he doesn't say like, oh, you got your big thing, you know, stop praying. Like that's not how he works. That's not scriptural. It's not God's character. And so, you know, so, right around that same time was when I had gotten my pathology reports back from my oncologist and had been declared cancer-free, even though I needed scans for a long time. I had been declared a cancer survivor. And so Matt and I went out to dinner to celebrate that. But I also said, I'd like us to come up with a list of big, crazy, impossible things to pray for that we have to believe the Lord for. And so we did that at this dinner table one night and just came up with, you know, not things that we could probably in our own abilities or efforts or strengths kind of accomplish on our own, but like these are kind of wild and crazy things that we need the Lord to come through on. And so we made that list, and that was kind of a fun exercise together. And then a few weeks later, we're at church and our pastor gives a message about praying big, Whit.
Wow.
And it was one of those like, okay, Lord, we already did this. Like we made our list.
Yeah.
And he focused on Ephesians 3:20, which says, you know, talks about our God being able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And, you know, our pastor said, what's the wildest thing you could imagine? Yeah, that's nothing for God. Like, why do we pray so safe and so small? And so, we actually revisited our big prayer list that we had already written a few weeks earlier and kind of went, is this wild enough? Is this imaginative enough? Is this, are we dreaming and praying big enough? And so we kind of modified, a lot of things stayed the same, but we kind of modified it to be a little bit more crazy and ridiculous. And so, you know, we pray for things for our home, for our marriage, for cancer to never, ever return to my body. The way we live our lives and use our resources, we want God to direct that in wild and ridiculous ways. We pray big things for my next job. You know, Matt was praying through our big prayer list the other day, and he said the word ridiculous just came to mind. And, you know, Lord, wouldn't it be ridiculous if all of these things happened? Like, this would be absurd. And so one of the things that we did this year was we wanted to just name and keep track. I love in the Old Testament when something happens that they put a stone up or built an altar to remember, like, God did this here. And so Matt is a fly fisherman. And so when he would go to the river, he'd bring a rock home, like a good sizable, you know, rock bigger, about the size or bigger than your hand. And so what we did is we started writing miracles down that God's already done in our life. and putting them in a little flower bed in front of our house and naming the things that God has done. And we actually have a few blank ones there that we've put there and we're like, hey, Lord, we're ready for what you're going to let us write on this next. And so we're learning to pray big, big, ridiculous things. We love and serve a big God who can do the impossible. I got married in 2020, which is impossible.
Right. That's the foundation. Yeah. Yes. Right there. That is the huge rock, right?
Totally. Wow. And finding and beating cancer is a rock in that pile. And, you know, buying our house at the time, in the exact timing and way that we bought our house, was a miracle. And so reminding ourselves that our God is big and can do big things, but also looking forward to the future and asking God for big things that he wants to do in and through us. And so right now we're learning how to pray big and how to really truly believe God for big and wild and crazy and ridiculous things.
Wow. It's so powerful. I get so choked up thinking about it. I was just, as you were talking, I was thinking about last year when I asked our leadership team to really think about what would you pray for if you believe that God would answer it? And it kind of pushed us to look at what are some of the things that we have stopped praying for because we maybe haven't seen God move in that way, or we have just kind of, you know, given up hope, or we just, or maybe our view of God has shrunk so small that we can't imagine that he would do something that big. And so I love that reminder of that word ridiculous. So this is so good. And I know I could ask you so many more things, and there's so much good stuff here that we could keep digging into, but thank you for all this wisdom and your sharing your journey with us. And now people know that they have a guest room to stay in if they go
Park City, Utah. Let us know.
You might get a random stray that just heard your podcast and shows up at your doorstep.
Well, I'm hoping that the Scarborough family is going to come.
Today at school,
everyone was laughing because the menu was wrong, and so it was like we had to change it, and so we wrote it down, we crossed it out, but everyone was laughing because the menu was chicken bowls. Like every governess kept repeating that, they were like bowls.
I can imagine. Fourth grade, they were like, this is hilarious. Well, what exactly?
Opie has a minion. Opie has a better minion.
Okay, Opie, come to your minion lab.
Opie and Beau Lauber have a good minion.
Okay, Opie, come here. I want to hear your minion laugh. It's so funny. Okay.
Come here.
No, wait, okay, Opie, you're a minion. What does a minion do? No, you don't need to yell into the mic. Just do it
normal. Bottom.
So if he says bottom, what does the minion do? Bottom. That's really good. What would be your noise for a lightsaber? How does it go? That doesn't sound like a lightsaber at all. It just sounds like a horn or something. That's a good one. Yeah. More like a whoosh, like crash kind of. Yeah. That's good. That's really good. So what exactly, I'm trying to understand though. I really don't know what you ate for lunch, and that's a little disturbing. Like, what is a chicken ball?
It's like, just chicken parts that taste like that are in the shape of a ball. I only ate like one. It sounded a little bit different.
Was it, Opie, was it good?
I ate all of them. Ate it. It just helped me if I ate it in the commercials. I just acted like they were good and I pretended like I was on TV.
So you thought they were good?
No. But I just pretended. I was in a commercial.
You pretended you were in a commercial and you were like, oh, these are amazing.
And they actually looked like commercial, like
They look like something from like
a commercial.
A commercial. So they weren't similar to like a Chick-fil-A like chicken nugget. They weren't. No. They weren't that same quality.
No.
No. Well.
Oh, sorry. Oopsie. I muted myself.
Yeah, you did.
To find show notes for this and past episodes, or to engage on a deeper level, you can go to wovenministry.com/podcast. If you enjoy what you hear so far, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps listeners find and share this feed. If you'd like to tell us what you enjoyed about this podcast or ask your hard question, you can call us at 512-815-2446. That's 512-815-2446. You'll simply leave a voicemail with what's on your mind, and we might just include your voice on a future episode. Music and editing for the show is by Callan Brown, recording and production by Tim Scarborough. I'm Whitney Scarborough, and we'll be back here with more very soon. Thanks for listening.